This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown for August 19th, 2004. Today, the voices of the Passamaquoddy opposition to the location of an LNG terminal at Pleasant Point on the day of the vote on Tuesday. But first, this week is WERU's fundraiser. Please call in during Radioactive to show your support for all the great programming on the station, including independent news and public affairs, both national and local programs. The number is 1-800-643-6273. That's 1-800-643-6273, or locally at 469-6600. You can also pledge online at weru.org. If you call and pledge during this half hour, your name will go into the drawing for a CD, David Rovix's most recent CD, Songs for Muhammad. David Rovix performed at this year's Full Circle Fair, and we've played him many times on Radioactive. So please call 1-800-643-6273 or pledge online and support WERU Community Radio. Thank you. Now today's story. In a controversial and rushed vote on Tuesday, the Passamaquoddy tribe at Pleasant Point voted to support the location of a liquefied natural gas terminal on their land, 193 to 162. The referendum is non-binding, however, and opponents of the project vow the fight is far from over. Many of the tribal members say there has not been enough time to debate or educate the tribe on the issue. The project would require the leasing of 42 acres of the tribe's 100 acres. Issues of safety, environmental impact, land leasing, displacement, cultural impact, and the lack of an open and transparent process are of enormous concern. Opponents say the jobs that would be created would most likely not go to the tribal members, and that the bottom line for them is no amount of money is worth the exchange of locating a terminal on their small community. In early July, the tribal government signed an exclusivity agreement with Quaddy Bay LLC, a subsidiary of energy developer Smith Cogeneration. The gas company interested has not been revealed. Economics has been the main argument for proponents within the tribe. In a three-page letter sent to all of the Pleasant Point tribal members, Representative Fred Moore, who originally solicited the LNG project, warns that the money left in the tribe's fund is running out and that the costs of tribal services will, quote, fall directly upon the heads of households of each of the approximately 250 homes on the reservation, end quote. With many in the tribe requiring some sort of assistance, this prospect is frightening. But the validity of the claims are under question. In July, the Portland Press Herald reported Quaddy Bay LLC has said the terminal would provide lease payments of $4 million to $8 million per year, and tribal revenues could climb as much as $20 million if the tribe becomes a partner. They also said the tribe would get free or low-cost natural gas, an electricity generating station would provide energy, and also each tribal member would receive $1,000 per year. There has been a rush by gas developers up and down the northeast coast to secure an LNG terminal on the existing 207-mile pipeline that runs from Sable Island off Canada to Portland, where it links with pipes to Massachusetts. The pipeline can support a minimal number of facilities. It is currently unclear how many. In the past 2 years, eight communities in the United States have rejected LNG terminals. In Maine, Harpswell and Searsport, in particular, have battled over the location, and currently these towns have kept out the development. The state of Maine is a strong proponent of LNG, but says their role is to provide information and that a facility should not go where a community doesn't want it. The lack of information, however, has been a point of contention, as was brought up at last month's LNG conference in Brunswick when attendees challenged state officials. Those with concerns about LNG say there is only information presented on the benefits of the location of an LNG facility in Maine, but no analysis of the potential economic and environmental costs. Today we'll hear from a number of the Passamaquoddy people opposing the LNG on the day the non-binding referendum took place on Tuesday. On August 31st, from 10 to 11 in the morning, we'll have more comprehensive coverage of the issue. Last week, members of the Passamaquoddy held a seven-day sacred fire to reflect and pray on the proposed LNG terminal at Pleasant Point. On the morning of the vote, David Moses Bridges canoed out into the cove in front of the tribal village with his son Tobias and another tribal member, Vera Francis, to spread the ashes. He talked that afternoon about the uniqueness of the Passamaquoddy tribe and about the sentiment of those who oppose an LNG terminal location.
The Passamaquoddy Nation is still here after all this time. We're the oldest tribe of coast-dwelling Native Americans left on the East Coast of the United States. The rest of them are gone. Smallpox, disease, starvation, attrition, just however. The Passamaquoddies have always survived because of this location that we're at. This bay always fed us well. And this land was always overlooked by European encroachment because it was so far north. The waters are so restricted. It's a fairly inaccessible bay because of the currents and the tides. And we're still here after all this time. We're in the same place we were when Champlain sailed up this river 400 years ago. It's the same village with our language, our culture, and our spirituality intact. The sentiment for the last week has been one of dismay because we asked our leadership to give us time as a community to explore this issue in all aspects surrounding it, safety, environmental, development, and we asked them, many members of the community asked them for at least 90 days to look at this because this is a major decision for our community. And that was 3 weeks ago. And then they decided to railroad this vote within 3 weeks. They told the community that they would give them 90 days. And then they had a meeting and they decided that we weren't worth it, I guess. I think they've been listening to Donald Smith a little too much instead of their own people.
2.5 weeks ago, Smith Cogeneration, of which Quaddy Bay LLC is a subsidiary, flew down four tribal leaders and members, including Bridges, to an LNG terminal in Louisiana to visit and learn more about the industry.
It's all the same stuff I've heard all over the place from every LNG proponent, that the stuff is safe, that it's no problem. You know, they make it sound like spring water. But what I saw was a huge industrial facility. We almost got arrested by five different layers of law enforcement. We were detained for almost 2 hours and questioned severely about what we were up to down there. I met the man Donald Smith, you know, a real nice guy, a captain of industry. I don't think he cares one little bit about what becomes of my nation. He wants to cite industry in this bay because that's what makes him money and that's what he does. He makes money. Now, me, personally, I'd probably be happy with a 2,000-acre ranch and a 90-foot sailboat like he has, but I guess he wants more, and some people do.
If the referendum, if it is not defeated, where do we go from here, do you know?
Question the legality of everything that's just happened to us. Look into recalling leaders who aren't representing their people. You know, there's a lot of questions surrounding that. Secret meetings, secret negotiations, money changing hands, not educating the community about what they're signing on for, dazzling them with promises of money and jobs, none of which have been proven to be true. There's been no concrete evidence to say that this many jobs will be available or that many. It's all just a lot of gray matter that's been thrown out there. And I think it's time to hold our leaders responsible for everything that's just happened. A lot of people have in this community have been watching their leaders at work. And, you know, I think they appreciate what we have here, and they know that money doesn't buy this beautiful place that we have. They've watched some community leaders in their blind ambition to cite this here, and I think they've stood back and seen what that behavior means, and I think they're a little disgusted.
All day on the day of the vote, tribal members opposing the LNG facility and others from towns in the area vigiled outside the Perry Town office with signs projecting their message to cars passing by on Route 1.
My name is Gracie Davis. I'm from Pleasant Point, Perry, Maine, Sebayik Reservation. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about how you feel about the proposal of the LNG plant on Passamaquoddy land?
Mm-hmm. Well, I oppose it simply because that's not something that should be on the reservation or anywhere else, because we won't be able to hear the birds, the rain. It's just not in our nature to have that. Like I told them yesterday at my brother's, I've already lost one mother 18 years ago, and I don't want to lose another mother, Mother Earth. She's the only mother I have left, and I will do everything in my spiritual ways to prevent that from happening, because I have grandchildren here too, and I teach them about nature, and they love it. Yeah, I guess what I want to say is that I don't want LNG for here or for any other beautiful place that the Creator gave us. We need to keep the nature alive in our hearts and souls. That's how I feel. Thank you. You're welcome.
Passamaquoddy Elder Mary Bassett.
The process is confusing to me. Well, not confusing from our part. It's like they had a general meeting on August 5th, 3rd, and the people had asked for a vote as to how many council members wanted the referendum, and it was 4-3. So we looked at the constitution of our community, and it said that it should be held in 30 days. And the governor took it upon himself to make it for today, which is what, 2 weeks? I think, well, the third. About 2 weeks. Which is, I don't know if it's unprecedented. And I think the pressure was coming from Quadi LLC, was it? Because I don't know who's... It seems to me there's a bigger players here. And the other thing that was very interesting was when the LLC paid for three elected leaders and three tribal members. And they came back...
Paid for them to
go to Louisiana. And they came back, at least one that I know of for sure, that approved it. And he's always been like in the same camp we've been. And that was so disappointing. It was so disappointing. What I'm concerned about, if it does, is deconstruction. Who's going to pay thousands and thousands, maybe millions of dollars? That thing will be standing there forever. I won't be able to see it when it's deconstructed, but if it happens. But it'll always be a reminder of people's choice. It won't go away. It'll always be there to remind them. Hopefully, say 20 years from now, that they made a mistake. Like I was saying to someone this morning, at the height of the Depression, we lived pretty well from the sea. We had seal, we had porpoise, we had all kinds of fish, lobster, crabs, periwinkles, everything. You know, they even the old timers, they used to eat seagull eggs, ducks, I mean, everything. And it's almost like, in my view, I think for my people, I think they need to know what it's like to be really poor and know what they have now, how rich they are, we are now, with the beauty and the... But the white people have really decimated the sea. Now you have to watch out to eat too much mercury, red tide... So, I don't know if this is the outgrowth of all that, And I was saying this morning that what's happening now is just corporate America and the values that push America and the state government, the federal government, I mean, George Bush. I mean, this is a man who was president and he wasn't even elected president. So that trickles on down with all the fallacy and the errors and the lies and the, you know, it's preposterous. And to think that it could filter down to us, it's almost like unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And what a legacy to leave to your children.
Call 1-800-643-6273 to pledge your support for WERU Community Radio or go online at weru.org. Anyone who pledges during Radioactive will also go in the drawing for the David Rovics Songs for Muhammad CD. Again, 1-800-643-6273. Julie Keene was one of the people from surrounding towns rallying in front of the Perrytown office on the day of the vote.
My name is Julie Keene. I'm from Trescott, Maine, just outside of Lubeck. My people came to Lubeck in the 1600s, late 1600s, so I've got a long history in the area. I'm a fisherman. I'm a farmer. I have cows and pigs, chickens, ducks. I grow my own vegetables. I smoke my own meat. My living comes from the ocean, which is big around here. I know that there's over 1,100 commercial licenses for many types of fishing from the ocean between Eastport and Lubeck. Some people have more than one license, but so many people depend on this bay. I don't think people in the rest of the state understand just how dependent we are on the ocean here and the woods. Because it's either ocean or land. There's no industry. And this certainly isn't the type of industry we want. There's a lot of big questions for me. What happens if there's a spill? That's never been answered. What will it kill? Everybody I know digs clams, picks periwinkles, and right now the clam flats have been shut down since sometime, maybe the second week in July, I'm not sure exactly. And it's still shut down, and that's really hurt a lot of people because now is the time that we get some price for the clams. We already have so many problems here that we have so little left to hold on to. People that love this place and grew up here want to stay here. This is their home. This is my home. It's the native people's home, too, but this is my home, too. And how could anybody build a bomb next to their neighbors? And in the name of what? Economic development? What kind of economic development is it if this thing blows up and puts 1,100 people out of work that make a living from the ocean? Or, I mean, actually, probably that's our least worry if it blows up and kills all the communities around the bay. I made a poster. It's called Hands Around the Bay, and I named all the towns around this bay that depend on the bay, that are neighbors around this bay. And, you know, I feel like we shouldn't interfere in any decisions that the tribe is making, but I also feel that people that live around this bay deserve to have some kind of a voice. There should be some kind of process where we can ask questions. I think it's very interesting that for the Democratic Convention, they would not allow any LNG tankers to come in there. And that's to make sure that none of those people at the convention got blown up. I think it's very interesting that all the way down the coast of Maine, they have said, we don't want this. And Washington County, where we're so poor, we rake blueberries, we dig clams, we make Christmas wreaths, we cut wood. So many people out of work here. The last sardine factory closed down. We're so dependent on what we have left. And to push this down our throat, 50, 60 jobs, to who? Engineers? People with big degrees? I don't know. I don't understand this, but I know I don't want it here. And I know if the rest of the state don't want it and other communities don't want it, why are they bringing it here? If this thing should blow up, it could be complete genocide of the Passamaquoddy people. Complete genocide. This is outrageous. It's criminal. And I don't know what to do, but I know we can't let this happen. These people are my neighbors. Some of them are my friends. They've been here a lot longer than many of us that came here. And I know a lot of them don't want this thing, and they have a lot of unanswered questions. I cannot speak for the Passamaquoddy people. I can only speak as a person that makes a living from the ocean. And the only statement I guess I can say that sums it up is I stand for what I stand on.
A meeting was being held the night of the vote in Eastport, the third in a series hosted by the Commons called Conversations on the Future of Passamaquoddy Bay. It was to this packed meeting of people from surrounding towns and the Passamaquoddy Nation that tribal member Deanna Francis drove to announce the results of the referendum. We spoke with medicine man at Pleasant Point, Freda Paul, after that meeting.
Well, my feeling is the tribe did wrong of accepting money, our leaders. And they're supposed to be very traditional people. And this is one thing that is not traditional, is have something come in like this and to destroy not just our sacred lands, but the surrounding people. We care about our people. We care about the surrounding people. I have a lot of friends here, and I am well known. I'm the medicine man. And the way they did it, it was kind of sneaky that nobody knew. I went to Kentucky. I came back, and I heard this from my friend from long distance. And then I started acting. And ever since then, I've been on my toes, and I'm one exhausted man. I try to do things to help other people, and I try to go around my reservation and talk with people what LNG is all about. It didn't take me long to find out what LNG is all about. And I hope that the surrounding people in this area, all these small communities, will join in and help us to keep this out. There's one thing that I do every night. I smudge and I talk to the Creator. And I talk with my ancestors to help us with this. They helped us quite a ways, but it was the people that let us down. And I'm a very traditional man, and I don't like to have things like this come in and destroy other people's minds. Our leader and our council members are not very traditional. They used to be. I grew up with them. We fought for everything. We uprise everything. We keep things down to keep things out. But when they see this great big gigantic dollar sign in front of their faces, they're blind. And when they're blind, I can say I hate them, because hate is a bad word. I never use that word. I always use the word I disown you. I prefer to use that. That's not so harsh. These leader of ours are not leader of mine. And you can quote me on that if you want. And I hope that we have a better leader next time. And I never vote until I know a leader is a traditional person and goes the old ways and listen to the elders. And these people don't listen to the elders. They listen to dollar signs.
Are you ready to continue the struggle?
I'm going to continue until it stops. I may be all worn out, but I cry at night times. And, you know, hoping that a lot of people will come to their senses and not have this in. And I'm still going to cry, because my heart is open out even to the people that went against us. Because in my field, I'm not supposed to have my heart close to anyone, because if I do, I'm no better off than they are.
And we'll keep you updated on this issue. There, again, will be a special on August 31st from 10 to 11 in the morning on this issue. This has been Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown. Joel Mann engineered today's program. Andy Buckley does web and technical support. Andrea DeFrancesco and Corey Freeman helped in the production of today's program. You can listen to archive programs at our website, freespeech.org/RAN, or by links on mainindymedia.org. Thank you for listening and acting.